This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's a Christmas Eve evening. It's Festivus, all those things. And oddly enough, the Penguins are playing a matinee in Toronto right now. Game is at the first intermission. Jason Mackey is there, Penguins insider. And he joins us right now to recap the first 20 minutes of action. Jason, what was the big story so far in this Penguins Maple Leafs? Why are they playing a game at 4 o'clock? Can you explain that one to me? What's that all about?
I don't have much of an answer on that one. I'm a little bit confused, too. I guess allowing people to get home in time for the Christmas break and not take too much of Christmas Eve tomorrow.
They're the only team. This is the only game that's being played right now, so...
I know.
No one else
I'm grasping at straws.
Yeah, no one else
I don't
is looking at it that
either.
Way. Okay. What's happened?
Yep. Well, 2 goals scored by the Maple Leafs, both on Penguins' mistakes, the Kevin Hayes turnover, and a puck that bounces off of Parker Watherspoon's stick. Other than that, the Penguins have actually looked pretty decent. They had a goal disallowed. Justin Brazeau looked like he scored. Toronto challenged for goaltender interference. A really nice play by Sidney Crosby to come back and back check and set up Brian Rust for a breakaway goal. 2-1.
Is it fair to say that the Penguins have actually outplayed the Leafs so far in this first period?
Yep, I think absolutely I would agree with that, Chris. They've looked pretty good. They've had the better of play. They've had the puck more. The Leafs look flat. This is not a good team. This is a team that has had a lot of problems recently. The Penguins should be able to handle this. The 2 fluky goals. The second one, Stuart Skinner absolutely has to stop.
Jason, how much of a lead do you expect the Penguins to blow in the third period of this game?
I'm going to go with none. I'm going to go with they should actually be able to handle the Toronto Maple Leafs and close this thing out, although they don't have a lead. So maybe that's
Is that building full? Because they're not selling that place out anymore. And that's very weird up there because every game sells out usually, but they're not this year.
Oh,
buddy.
I didn't know that. Huh.
No, it's not sold out. I was actually looking a little bit, guys, and they're pumping a crap load of noise here. You can probably hear some of it, but like. It's weird to see so many empty seats here. I mean, I know their last
Jason, it used to be that Leafs fans wouldn't be able to get tickets to their home games, so they would come and invade Penguins-Leafs games here in Pittsburgh.
They can get them here. Maybe they don't want to pay the prices, but there are definitely seats available, I can confirm.
Is the Hoffman group, like, already on the road with the Penguins, and are you already seeing, as someone that's embedded with them, like, the effects of the ownership change?
No, they're not on the road, at least that I've seen. If they've been on the road, I have not crossed paths with them. I've been everywhere the Penguins are. I will say that they are, like, extremely gung-ho. Like, I've heard a little bit from their people about how excited they are to get going, and like conversations are being had, all this stuff. I mean, I don't expect any hiccups, but I don't believe they're personally around the team yet.
You mentioned Stuart Skinner had a goal he probably wanted back. What right now is going on with the Penguins goaltending? Is it possible in your mind that their best goalie isn't even on the NHL roster at the moment?
I think it's possible. It's not likely, Andrew, but I understand why they're doing what they're doing. I don't have any issue with it. What they're trying to do right now is get Stuart Skinner established. He has not played terribly well since coming here, but I mean, he represents a trade chip, a move, you know, and I don't even think it would be a terrible thing for the Penguins if he stayed up here. Like, he's a really good dude to be around. I think he would be somebody that Sergei Mirashov could come up and kind of learn from and tandem with and whatever. So, I mean, you need to get his game in order. I don't know what that means for Artur Shelov, but yeah, their best goalie, like ceiling-wise, I think is in the minor leagues right now.
All right, Jason, let's get to the other team you cover, the Ryan O'Hearn signing. What do you think it means for the Bucks?
It means they improved their offense. They got another left-handed bat. They got somebody who can go out to the outfield. They've had an opening out there. I'll tell you guys this, though. They're not done. I've been checking on this afternoon. Like, that's not the bat. They're continuing to look to add offense, and I wouldn't be surprised.
When you say not the bat, you think a bigger free agent or a bigger move is still in the offing?
One that rhymes with Juarez?
I mean, I think it's still at least in play. I don't think that this precludes them from doing that. But I think they have to look at all of their offseason. I think they have to look at, like, I still think they're interested in, I know this is going to sound goofy, but adding a pitcher. If you want, like, some of the pitching depth they've traded away, if they could bring back a left-handed starter, I think they're interested in doing that. And I think they're interested in building out their bullpen a little bit. So I think it kind of depends on the scope of those moves. And whether is it Suarez for $20 million? I think that might be a little bit steep for them at this point. They might not have that need. I'm just kind of guessing. But I do know that they're interested in still adding offense.
Jason, what would you say is the best move they've made so far of the bunch of moves they've made this offseason, in your opinion?
Man, that's a good one, Chris. You're hearing penalties in the air. I'm going the Rays trade. I know that Brandon Lowe only has 1 year of team control, but I have such a high opinion of him in bringing in Mangum and Montgomery. Like, that whole trade, man, to just give up Mike Burrows for that, I know it's kind of a cop-out because it's like, you know, one of four moves they've made, but that's been my favorite one so far. O'Hearn's not too far behind.
Andrew McCutchen celebrated the birth of another child today. Do you think that this O'Hearn move, because he plays a lot of DH, closes the door on McCutchen coming back in 2026?
You know, I was just checking on that like an hour ago, Andrew. I don't think it does, but I think it complicates things. My understanding, like, there's still a role for Kutch on this team. I just don't know if it lines up. And here's what I mean. Like, it's probably more of a part-time role. Like, his role is definitely going to be diminished because of the O'Hearn thing. And I think if Kutch wants to go play every day, it's going to be tough to see that happening here. Now, if Kutch is willing to be a part-time DH, I think that can work. And I think, you know, I think it should work. I think he should end his career here. But if he's looking to get 500 at-bats, I don't see how that's possible.
I mean, didn't it feel like his bigger beef was not with playing time, but it was more with the state of the franchise at the end of last year?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's not a beef about playing time. It's just like, I think he's a proud guy that thinks he can still play, and I'm not even disagreeing with him. I'm just saying that if he's willing to accept a lesser role, I think there's an opportunity for him to play here. I just don't know what that appetite is for him. Like, you know, are you okay taking a lesser role to stay in Pittsburgh, or do you want to play every day? If you want to play every day, it's probably going to be tough to happen here.
How do we think Paul Skeens is feeling right now about things?
I haven't checked in on that front yet, but I can't imagine he's upset. You know, they've been looking at this, probably greater expectations than the outside world, meaning, like, you know, they expected action. You know, a lot of these young pitchers did. So, one of the things that they've been looking at on the Skeens front and just from a team leadership standpoint is getting more clubhouse guys, somebody to kind of ease that burden on Skeens. And I think that's what O'Hearn and Lau do. Like, they are notoriously good clubhouse guys. They've needed position player leaders. That's one of the reasons they brought these guys in here. So I would imagine that if you're Skeens, you're feeling pretty good about the hands this team is now in, that you don't have to do all the lifting at this point.
Jason, based on what you were hearing about O'Hearn's market value, did they have to pay a Pirates tax to get him here?
There's probably some of that. I don't know if it was so much a tax, Chris, is what I know about O'Hearn. Like, he wants to win. And so they needed, I think in that sense, like, I think the Lau trade was very big in that it showed they're serious. And I would imagine there's also a communication of, like, what they want to do, the volume of what they want to do. So, I mean, it's a pretty reasonable deal. Maybe there was a Pirates tax. I don't think it was much. I think it was more just communicating that there's a seriousness toward winning in 2026 that wasn't there before.
Who is more likely to be in the Pirates opening day starting lineup, Nick Gonzalez or Jared Triolo, and why?
Triolo, because he's a better defender. I don't see where Nick Gonzalez fits, guys. To me, it's maybe more of a trade chip because Triolo's defensive value is far higher. And let's just say they don't add a third baseman. Like, if you have to play somebody at third base, that's going to be Triolo over Gonzalez 100 times out of 100. And then you look at shortstop, I would much rather have Connor Griffin up here. Don't get me wrong, but if you have to pick Triolo or Gonzalez, I'm probably going to keep Triolo on the team because he has more versatility and more value that way. Like, you know, Gonzalez's value was as a plus hitting second baseman, which I know he didn't do or realize. It's just, if I'm going to keep him on my team, I'm not sure what that is. And at this point, you still might be able to sell the prospect, former number one pick, if you package him in a trade for something else. Not that I'm looking to run him out of here. I just don't see where he fits on the roster.
Last one. Bill on Twitter wants to know if you think Horwitz stays at first base after the O'Hearn move.
Yeah, I think the majority of the time, yes. Because his other position is second base, and they're very much entrenched on playing Lau there. And I don't think there's a need to mess with him in the outfield. And Horwitz is a pretty good defensive first baseman. I think you're probably with O'Hearn, you're looking at maybe platooning those at bats, maybe some in the outfield, some in the DH. I still think, at least based on what I know at this moment, Andrew, that Horwitz is going to play more at first.
All right, Jason Mackey in Toronto with the Penguins, but also keeping his eye on all the Pirates moves. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Happy holidays.
All right, dude. Same to you guys. Take care.
All right, this segment is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar. The fan beer of the month is Gristhouse's Hazedelic Juice Grenade. Proceeds benefit the American Cancer Society. And it is a segment we call Tomlin Takes. Mike bloviates for roughly a half hour every Tuesday. It airs live on The Fan at noon. Many of you aren't able to listen to the whole thing, so we bring highlights back in the 5 o'clock hour. We call it Tomlin Takes, and we condense it down to the greatest hits. Mike said he had a laundry list of Steelers injuries. Let's listen to them.
James Pierre worked out this morning. We'll see where that leads us. I'm sure he'll be limited, and we'll follow his progress throughout the week. No new update on TJ. I'm sure he's been in the building, but I'll gain further information about his potential participation at the early portions of the week and where that might lead. Siamalu, same thing, no update there. Nick Herbig is looking optimistic in terms of game availability. He certainly will be limited in the early portions of the week. Some in-game things that happened. Brandon Echols with his groin. Don't know where that is. Certainly hopeful. We're certainly thin in the secondary, but that's life this time of year. We'll see where his participation might pick up as we push through the week and thus his availability. Jaylen Warren should be limited at the early portions of the week. Spencer Anderson, likewise, but we're optimistic that both guys will be available to us.
All right, so optimism on Herbig, Warren, and Anderson. I didn't know that those two guys were even hurt. Sounds like there's less enthusiasm for Watt, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then after him, Pierre, Echols, and Siamalu. If you could get one of those three guys back healthy for the next Steelers game that counts, whether that's Sunday against the Browns, the Ravens, or the playoffs, whose health are you most interested in getting back to 100%, Pierre, Echols, or Siamalu? I can't believe I'm asking this question because you would have thought at the beginning of the year it was Siamalu.
I think
by
it might
far.
Be Pierre. It might be Pierre. It's not like they didn't run the ball without Siamalu in there against Detroit. I know Detroit's beat up along that defense and doesn't have a ton of talent on that defensive line outside of Hutchinson, but it's probably between Pierre or Siamalu. Siamalu, the other thing is,
and you're going to just throw Echols to the side? Like
no, because he's been playing well. Like, it's tough. Sayamalu, the only thing is you'd say, well, it makes everybody else easier to slot into like what they want to do with the jumbo stuff, but you're just not noticing a huge downturn. But game that counts, you also have to presume they're playing against a better defense.
I say Pierre because, well, wait a minute, actually. I don't
Next
say Pierre.
Next game that counts has to also take into account who they could be playing.
I actually put Pierre third.
So now it's Eccles, Sayamalu, Pierre.
I would go Sayamalu 1, Eccles 2, Pierre 3. And the reason why I say that is because if Eccles plays with Pierre out, your outside corners are Samuel and Porter. I think I can get away with that. What I don't want to do is move Ramsey to the slot and then have to expose Chuck Clark.
Well, doesn't it
And then
also...
I've got Chuck Clark and Duggar as my safeties, neither of which excel in coverage.
Starkey's outside here for some reason.
He's coming back to get his cookies. That he cared about so much, Donnie, that you brought him in here and said happy holidays, and he just left him there and was like, whatever. Yeah. Terrible job by him.
And his own producer got him a very nice Buffalo Bills
and it's still
commemorative
in here.
Glass, and he left that here, too.
Ever tell you guys what Joe got me for my wedding?
Wasn't it a T-shirt?
He couldn't make it. He had a big family reunion in Memphis, and he felt really bad. And so he's like, I'm going to get you a wedding gift, Malzy. And then it didn't happen for a while. And then what he got me was a Phil Kessel Penguins jersey. Like a T-shirt.
But it's a gift for you and your wife.
Me and Alex.
So what did you tell him about that?
I what are you supposed to do in that situation? Like, Joe, this is kind of a weird gift. Like, is Alex supposed to wear it? Anyway, by the way, you asked the question of who you'd want back of those three. Doesn't it kind of matter which team they're playing in the next game that matters?
Yeah.
Let's assume it's a playoff game. It might be situation dependent for me. If it's, I'm trying to think of what team would be in the AFC playoff field whose receivers.
Well, right
would
scare now they play the Chargers.
I'd almost want to take Sayamalu there because I just want to bulldoze that team. If it's a team that has better receivers, which I feel like Houston with Nico Collins and just kind of who they throw to.
Yeah, but you could put Porter on Nico Collins.
I know, but they got other guys too.
Really? They got those Iowa State receivers and Hutchinson.
I know.
And
I kind of like Higgins as a as sort of a big.
Yeah, but he doesn't scare me. I think Samuel would do fine there. Here is Tomlin on a Q&A with Tim Benz on what's going on with TJ Watt.
TJ at the stage where he's recovered from his procedure, and is this just about getting back into football shape for him?
I think that's a fair estimation, but again, I'll let him speak in terms of his medical. I think for me, to talk about injury is one thing, to talk about medical is something else, and so that's one of the reasons why I've been a little bit hesitant besides my lack of expertise on the subject matter.
First time Tomlin's actually let his guard down a little bit, I think, on Watt's health, saying that it is now more about football shape than about him recovering from the surgery.
But football shape could be like a long way off because of what we heard about the nature of that kind of surgery.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what Schefter tweeted over the weekend is probably right, that I can't fathom right now there's, given their situation, there's a rush to get him back out there against Cleveland.
I'm still not positive that even if they make the playoffs like everybody assumes that he's going to play.
Really? I think he does. Here is Tomlin on how they're doing it without Watt.
Love the work that Jack gave us. Certainly love the work that Alex Highsmith gave us, although we anticipated it from him. Jay Moon as well. But schematically and strategically, you don't replace TJ and Herbig. And we understood that. And that's why we talked a lot about destroying the pocket from the interior. We did have full strength on our interior pass rush. They had an elevated center, I think, on their side. And so we approached the game that we had to win on the interior because we could get them off the spot, destroy the rhythm of their operations in doing so. And so schematically, we put together a plan with that in mind. It didn't take long for that to show itself. I think the second play of the game, Benton had a sack. And so I just think that you adapt, you do what it is that you need to do in an effort to engineer victory. We were strong inside. We lacked depth on the perimeter. We put the challenge to our interior people to impact the game in that way. We put some schematics behind it, and we went about playing.
Yeah, good coaching, I think, there. You found the weakest link, the Achilles heel of the defense, and you try to win the game that way. I mean, how many times did Tom Brady and the Patriots offense just try to find the worst corner or guy in the secondary and throw at him a million times in a game? So, I mean, the Browns' offensive line stinks. I don't see, I think Betonio is the only healthy starter they have right now. I don't think the loss of Watt, if they have to win this game on Sunday, will be felt that much. Again. Especially if Herbig's going to come back, which Tomlin made it sound like
he will. I also just think the way their defense is playing and the way the Browns now don't have Judkins and how limited I still think Shedeur Sanders is, they should be teeing off on him. It should be open season.
Here's another good answer from Tomlin when he was asked about the way that game got officiated with all the offensive pass interference penalties.
Well, sometimes officiating crews have personalities like units and teams. We scout officiating crews in a similar way. I think going into that game, that crew had called the second most penalties per game of all the crews in the NFL this year. And so we went into the game understanding that we needed to play clean, that that could be a component of the outcome of the game. That's just football in today's world. There's information at our disposal. We're able to scout crews and understand their personalities, the things that they call, the things that they don't call, prepare during the course of the week accordingly.
I don't know if that scouting really paid off in this game because they got called for two offensive pass interferences. I mean, I like that Tomlin's team strategy and philosophy on games is so granular where they look at the way officials call games and then pass that information on to players.
I think that's smart. That's the kind of information analysis I want to see more of from them.
I mean, I think that's another like Belichick
trope. I hope he does more stuff like this and just doesn't let us behind the curtain very often about it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, it didn't help, though. They got called for multiple OPIs. I did think that crew missed a call on the pick play. Metcalf was getting held pretty blatantly, I thought.
Did you see what Faribault's stat was on that officiating crew? In the entire NFL this year, they've called 30% of the offensive pass interference penalties.
That's weird.
That is crazy.
Is that? That's a Cheffers crew?
There's 16 crews.
They've called a full third of the OPI.
Yeah.
Man, if you're... You know what? I'm going to even say this about the last play of the game. If you're St. Brown and you know that, and you're a physical guy,
you can't push off like that.
You've got to be somewhat cognizant in a huge moment like that of the fact that you probably can't push off.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, it is time for another rousing edition of the PM Team Name Game. That's how it works. Odyssey Pittsburgh employee selected two categories earlier in the show. They sent those categories off to our official, Joel Nelson. Joel Nelson will present us with those categories. The three of us will go around until one of us gets one of the answers wrong, or we get all the answers right and close out a category, which has happened here. I think that was with Santa's reindeer.
We did.
Recently.
Yeah, we closed Santa's reindeer.
And Nelly is promising some fireworks here today, ladies and gentlemen.
I've lost the most, and I'm going to end up having lost the most, even if Donnie goes 0 for 2 today. Pony hasn't lost a game in this. I think he's lost one in the last like several months.
The last time he lost was we bullied him, and I'm still pretty sure he just threw it.
Probably. Probably.
I think I lost both that day.
He doesn't like us pointing out that he's like a polymath who could be like a rocket scientist if he really put his mind to it.
Nelly, what is the topic today?
The name game, December 23, 2025. Since 2000, there have been 7 Pirates players with a 30-plus home run season.
Man, that is such an embarrassing low number.
Minnesota Twins in 2019 probably had that same number.
I think they did, actually.
7 guys, that's it?
That's what I'm seeing on StatMuse.
Okay. Wow. I believe, Mulzy, you're first up here.
Okay. I will take Pedro Alvarez, the easy one.
Pedro Alvarez, yes, sir.
I'll go Andrew McCutchen.
Andrew McCutchen.
Jason Bay.
Jason Bay.
Payday.
Brian Giles.
Brian Giles.
Josh Bell.
Josh Bell.
That's five. Pirates with 30 plus home runs in a season since Y2K. There are only seven.
Y2J, Chris Jericho.
What was that noise?
Because it just popped into my mind. I feel like he randomly played on an early 2000s team. Reggie Sanders.
Way to go, Donnie Football. 36. Donnie Baseball.
I had him written down, but I had a horrible feeling that he only had 28.
I thought maybe he like didn't spend.
That's a good
was
one
for the whole year.
Yeah, he was. He was. That's a good one.
31 from 2003.
All right, Mosey, you can close it out right here, baby.
I mean, I think it's got to be Aramis Ramirez.
It is Aramis Ramirez.
Let's go, Mosey.
I would have said Sanders. Had he gone Ramirez, I was going to roll the dice with Sanders because I couldn't think of another one. Craig Wilson came to mind, but there was no way he did it.
Good job.
Sounds a little patronizing, Donnie.
All right, we all survive in advance to the next round.
Now, Nelly, beforehand, did indicate to Pony off the air that it was a bad situation possibly brewing with the non-sports one.
According to Rotten Tomatoes, top 30 rated Christmas movies of all time.
Here we go. With the Rotten Tomatoes and Joel around movies always just gets
everyone
me worried.
Holds up Rotten Tomatoes as the authority on these things.
Now, hold on. Well, because it's like an aggregator. So, I mean, in that sense, they're taking the average, which makes, I think it's like reasonable. So, this is the tomato score, not the audience score.
This is
on their official website. The 100 best Christmas movies of all time. We'll take the top 30.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go with It's a Wonderful Life.
Damn it. That was
pretty
mine.
Pretty sure that is, yeah.
If yes. it's not, yes. you know.
It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, do I want to take the other? Well, is it an obvious one?
That one was number 10.
Number 10?
Yeah. 94%.
What the hell are nine movies that they're going to say are better?
I mean, it's a pretty bad movie. It's just a classic.
Man.
Is what I would say about it. Donnie, these are so hard.
I feel like going first here was an advantage because I just got to bring big old George Bailey out of mothballs.
I'm going to throw something out there. And
it's going to be right.
If I lose on this, fine. Die Hard.
Die Hard is...
No, I think he's done.
I don't know why Apple F is not working.
Did they not count it?
Probably I thought not. I had seen it. Hang on a minute.
I guess they don't.
So Die is spelled D-I-E. Hard, H-A-R-D.
I don't know why this is not taking...
Bruce Willis.
Control F.
I guess it's not...
Oh, there's a space. I'm sorry. Yes, it's number 11.
Yes!
There's a space?
I thought it was
here
all one word.
Here he goes again.
There's a space?
There goes that man.
Ah, yes, that famous one word, Die Hard.
There goes that man.
Actually, is Die Hard one word if you're saying Die Hard fan? No, you hyphenate it.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Dude, are you kidding? What number was it? 11th? One 11. Spot behind It's a Wonderful Life?
Let's go. Look at Donald.
I knew it was going to happen. Every time it's Joel with movies, it's...
That might be his biggest miscarriage of justice yet. Oh, yeah, there was a space in there. Didn't think there would be.
It's almost as if we're in cahoots.
Almost.
I hate you so much sometimes.
I'll go like Miracle on 34th Street.
What the heck's that about?
That's going to be in there, I think.
Miracle on 34th Street, number 5, Donnie. Yeah.
Jeez, what the heck's that about?
A Miracle on 34th Street?
Christmas.
Involving who?
The big guy.
Santa?
Yes, that's the big guy around Christmas.
All right, Mulsey, pressure back on you here.
I mean, I think these are... I'm going to try to pick a movie that I think is at least well-regarded, A Christmas Story.
I can't type A Christmas Story.
That's A space Christmas space.
Number 20.
Thank God.
Oh, you survived, you bastard.
That's not very in the season and spirit here.
I'm going to throw Elf out there.
E-L-F.
Our man Will Ferrell.
Elf, 27.
Oh, barely. Top 30 Christmas movies of all time. Back to Don.
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation is...
I think that's no.
The National Lampoon's one?
Yep. Yes, it
64.
is.
64.
Yeah!
What?
At a 72%.
Malsy called it.
All right.
Just behind Frosty the Snowman.
What was number one?
Number one was...
Just give us like 1, 2, 3, and 4, because Pony got number five.
Number one rated 99%, The Shop Around the Corner.
What? I've never even heard of it.
Oh, yeah, The Shop Around the Corner. Yeah, sure.
It's got to be some old-ass, oldest balls movie we've never seen before.
Meet Me in St. Louis was
number two. Oh, who are you, Greg Brown? Get off my lawn. Get out of here.
The Shop Around the Corner, 1940.
See?
Totally. That movie
Jimmy Stewart
stinks.
Again.
I don't even need to know.
What is number three and four? I'm curious.
Third was The Holdovers from a couple years ago.
What?
Never heard of it.
Oh, that's about those kids that got stuck at boarding school. It's not that good.
And then fourth was Tangerine from 2015. Miracle
on 34th
Street.
Are you looking at the right list?
I'm on Rotten Tomatoes website. No cap.
No cap.
I'm done with the movie list. I am going to read.
I'm going to read the one sentence Wikipedia that you see if you just search Tangerine.
The Tangerine
it follows a transgender sex worker as she discovers that her boyfriend, who is also her pimp, has been cheating on her.
Oh yeah, sounds excellent.
Yeah, it just sounds very Christmas-like.
It's definitely sounding better than Christmas
Vacation. Deck the Halls with Tangerine.
What time is that at the Hallmark Channel tonight? All right. Thank you, Nelly.
Thank you, fellas.
I guess we shouldn't shoot the messenger, Nelly.
Tangerine was shot on 3 iPhone 5S smartphones.
And it's 5. Or was it 5? Where did it rank?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, I think I'm done with movie lists. We got to find somewhere that's not a bunch of nonsense.
My point here is, in what universe is this
like
a Christmas
movie?
It just sounds like a movie.
And there's also not a single person on the planet that would name any of those movies before naming Christmas Vacation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. and for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.